If you're ready to finally start putting the pieces together and get a head start on your sober curious journey, you've got to get in my program, Awaken Sober Living. The secret sauce that really brings it all together is asking the right questions and then actually answering them. And then we go a little bit deeper. So if you're over the trap of trying to figure it out with moderation and stopping and starting all the time, this is the space for you to get a whole new perspective and make space for something new to come through. And that something new is more of you. There'll be a link right here in the show notes for you to go on over and get right in there. You can also just go to visit my website, marywagstaffcoach.com, and we will get going. I'll see you on the inside. I'll be there for you every step of the way.
Do you ever feel like you're outgrowing alcohol, that you are longing for a deeper connection to life? If alcohol is keeping you playing small and feels like the one area you just can't figure out, you are in the right place. Hi, my name is Mary Wagstaff. I'm a holistic alcohol coach who ended a 20-year relationship to alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. Now I help powerful women just like you eliminate their desire to drink on their own terms. In this podcast, we will explore the revolutionary approach of my proven 5 shifts process that gets alcohol out of your way by breaking all of the rules and the profound experience that it is to rediscover who you are on the other side of alcohol. I am so thrilled to be your guide. Welcome to your journey of awakening.
Welcome back to the show, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for being here. If you're new, welcome. My name is Mary Wagstaff. I'm a holistic alcohol coach for women. I'm also an embodiment facilitator and ceremonialist and ritualist, and I'm also an ecstatic dance DJ. I'm just going to say it out loud, is that one of my really big dreams that I feel like I have more access to now that I have on the other side of the retreat, the International Women's Retreat that I just co-facilitated, is I feel like I have access to living all of my biggest dreams ever. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Last week, we talked about desire, and the one with the biggest desire wins. The one, it makes it so much easier to move through the resistance, to expand your capacity when your desire is pulsing through you, when you're in authentic alignment with it. Being in front of everyone live as I was teaching and I was guiding and I was doing embodiment work and even the one-on-one work, because I met with every single one of the participants one-on-one, which was so amazing to do these embodied healing journeys live and to be able to just give my clients a hug after. It was just so awesome. And to feel that deeper sisterhood connection, you know, beyond like any sort of hierarchical role. I want to rock the stage as like the go-to embodiment facilitator DJ for powerful women and leadership that are shifting the paradigm into feminine leadership. There are just some people that I follow that I think, you know, they're hosting these big workshops, these big massive like conferences and events where women are having these transformational experiences, and they're kind of on a bigger scale, right? Not like the intimate setting of a retreat, but also a retreat that might be on a bigger scale. And that is a goal of mine, also to do that at festivals, to guide people through awakened and do workshops and talk about awakened sobriety as people are having these conscious movements or getting into their bodies, they're awakening to themselves and then guiding them through these pillars of awakening and why sobriety, like what sobriety means as a birthright. So there was so much, I can't emphasize enough the importance of integration as celebration. That was the one thing that I was not prepared for. I prepared before. I really created my schedule to honor the energy I was going to need. I got to Mexico early. I stayed a little bit late so I could really ground myself in the energy so I could present myself with integrity, with authenticity, with trust, with a clear head. And I asked for support while we were there. We had a team of sister support and the retreat center. and of course my beautiful co-facilitator, Neura Rochelle, and we were really on the same page. And then like, but the, and I thought staying for 2 days after the retreat was going to be enough. And it didn't even scratch the surface. 2 days was just enough for me to like remember my name kind of, although I was very present the whole time. And then, you know, I was kind of forced into submission. And I talked about this a little bit on the show about the eclipse portal, because oftentimes an eclipse can be really, you know, very powerful and kind of take you out, because there's just, it's, you're in this place, depending on where it is in your chart, it's like showing you your shadow. And we have to be like, I just got off a call where my teacher said, Tasha Blank, that it's our desire. Let me give you what she said verbatim, because it's beautiful. Our deepest desire and our deepest fear live right next to each other. And that may have actually been from one of her teachers. Our deepest gift and our deepest fear live right next to each other. And I would say our gift is our desire. So our deepest gift and our deepest fear live right next to each other. So we have to be willing to go through the fear to get to the desire, right? And that's what this awakened journey is all about. Because if there was no fear around sobriety, then you would just be like jumping headfirst into it. You'd be feeling all your feelings. You'd be feeling the emotions of urges. And like, but the basis of it is fear, right? So, you know, so anyway, I was there with all of that. And the eclipse portal was like very easeful for me. It was the post eclipse. And of course, you know, just like my physical body, it's like thinking about like you use all this adrenaline and then you kind of crumble. And then there was just reintegration with time and my, and being a mother and, you know, working from home, and we were in a new place. And then there was like this big full moon, my birthday, and Matthew was gone. There was just so many different elements of change, just the climate alone. My skin was like cracking and super dry after being, you know, out where it was like really super humid. And then my body just kind of gave out, and, you know, there was some resistance there because I had so much inspiration. I had so much inspiration of like all like my, you have no idea how much my mind is just going right now of the next thing. But I know that I've already designed my life and I'm co-creating with my life that it's in order. Like everything right in front of me is going to lead me to this thing I just declared, which is being like this go-to workshop presenter for awakened sobriety, for you know, aligned sobriety and embodiment and feminine embodiment and how important that is, and also DJing along with it. So just putting my dreams out there, because I know what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm literally in school, so I have to get there, go through that first. So, you know, giving ourselves time for integration, whether it's a weekend away, whether it's hosting a big party, I coach my clients on this all the time, is what does the after look like? And I almost think that's more important. Like I can pack my schedule pretty good up until I leave for a trip, but it's the integration piece that of coming back home that I feel like I need more time for. And because, you know, you build all this energy and then you kind of have to come back into like the day to day and the other people. And so I can set my intentions to go on the trip, but it's the physical space that I need on the other side of it to really integrate and really looking at, you know, I wasn't planning on talking about this, and I have shared this before, but it's like, what does that look like for you? So I'm taking a pilgrimage with my teacher, Chintia Devi, who is on the podcast. I highly recommend going back to listen to her episodes, to France. We are going to be walking the path of Mary Magdalene and Venus. We are going to be there at a potent time in the Venus cycle, where she is going to be in the underworld, and I believe where she is conjunct with the moon at a point while we're there. And so this will be my third pilgrimage with her, and they're very potent. And I'm just at a level of awareness where my intuition is really online, really, really spot on. And the question, and what I really want to propose to you today, and what I saw really come through with this, you know, intensive immersion of the retreat, and then again, my, you know, my next phase where I'll be the one kind of receiving on the other side of it with going on this pilgrimage is, how sober are you willing to get? This is the question that I just keep coming back to and that I'm always really just so proud of myself for, since, I mean, I've been on this journey of putting myself in transformational spaces since before I was sober, well before I was sober. So I've always had this like curiosity of like these wildly like esoteric, mystical experiences. And I really don't feel like I'm chasing it, because there's been parts of time where I have been chasing like, what's that next thing of this heightened experience? But the integration, okay, and then so this is why I'm talking about the integration. It's the integration piece that actually allows you to become the change inside of, you know, like our muggle world, where we have to pay bills and talk to doctors and like go grocery shopping and cook food. And, you know, and there's ritual that we can incorporate into all of that. But it's so important. Like, we lose, and that's where the alcohol comes in, because it's you've lost the connection to the meaning of your life. And maybe there wasn't ever anyone, or it's just the alcohol is in the way. The alcohol is in the way of our deeper meaning, connection to the essence of who we are. It is not in alignment with who you are anymore. And that is why you're struggling. So in order for you to get out of there, you have to grow that desire, and you have to ask yourself, how sober am I willing to get? And when I say sober, I mean, how big are you willing to live? How much life are you willing to experience? How much are you willing to feel? How alive are you willing to get? That is a question you have to ask yourself, because it doesn't have to be big, extravagant things. It doesn't have to be retreats in Mexico or pilgrimages to France. Like, that's kind of my thing, right? But how much are you willing to look into the eyes of your beloved, or let the moon witness you so that you can really be seen in your full radiance, completely connected and really claiming and honoring your connection to the elements of life, like putting your feet on the bare earth, being a little bit uncomfortable in some sort of newness and movement of your body, showing up at a new space, holding space for someone, listening to someone else's story, listening to the story of your own body, starting a sister circle in your community, showing up at a sound healing, hiring a coach, asking a new question. These are all things that are going to require of you more aliveness, right? Doing some breath work. How sober are you willing to get? How much are you willing to move beyond the conditioning of the mind and the beliefs that you currently have that are keeping you away from living life to the fullest, that are keeping you away from your desires and your dreams, right? Now, we can find satisfaction in anything. In the book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer, highly recommend it. I think it's the best of his books, because it just gives this firsthand personal account. In The Untethered Soul and Living Untethered, he talks about his story a little bit, but he's really kind of giving these anecdotal stories. And in The Surrender Experiment, he just shares exactly what he did, and it's profound, right? Like, I mean, and there's a little bit of a masculine edge to it, where I think with women, you know, he kind of just says everything, yes to everything that life is presenting to him. And I think, you know, we have to be willing to say no sometimes to what life is presenting to us, depending on where we're at. Like, there's a couple of things of that book that aren't, you know, like in alignment with necessarily what I teach, but he talks about how everything can be a spiritual practice, no matter if he was like in the office building code for, you know, websites, or he was offering lectures, meditating at his temple in Florida. Like, everything gets to be part of his spiritual practice. And that's what this is about, the question of how sober are you willing to get? Yes, with drugs and alcohol, but with your awareness, with turning on what this life is really about and sifting through the distortions and the illusions that have kept you stuck, the stories that tell you, I have to do this, right? I have to meet the needs of these people in my life, right? And this is what we get to sift through with compassion and curiosity in our one-on-one time and in my self-study course. which is all about awakening your sobriety. And that is where it's such a good place to start. You have to ask new questions to get new answers. And I'm going to go through over the next few episodes, and then I'll have some surprises for you. Really the takeaway from me for the retreat, because this retreat would not have been possible. Like, it was such a pivotal, big moment in my life. And I want to share about it because I want to inspire you and to know it would not have been possible without sobriety. 100%. But what sobriety gave me, not through the lens of just the absence of alcohol and drugs, through the absence of awakened sobriety, aligned sobriety, where I was at the center of change. And what we kept talking about, Nura and I, about this retreat and the takeaway from these women that you'll hear about, was that it was the reflection of the other people and the sacred sisterhood. Like, I can't, without other people, this work doesn't land, right? Like, I would not continue to have more growth and more awareness without it. So yes, it's the absence of alcohol, so I can be clear-headed and function and not feel like crap and have, you know, and I can be in harmony with my body, and I can be a clear channel for divinity, but my own divinity and connection to nature. But I can also respond to the needs of other people. And the biggest thing, that the reason that sobriety is such a magical platform through, you know, really that I'm talking about through the lens of the feminine, right? Through feminine reclamation, sobriety gave me access. I guess it was kind of both. It was like, when I started to awaken the feminine was a safe place for me to explore sobriety. It was the missing piece of the desire and the need I had that I was using alcohol for, right? And so there was this essence of me that I started to tap into. And that's what was available to you, to my clients, and to all the women at the retreat, is like tapping into this essence. What is the need that's going unmet? You know, and so being willing, right? And this is where I get to ask myself, how sober am I willing to get every single time? And how much of life am I willing to live? Through the lens of service, through the lens of devotion, and because it's not even about me, right? At this point, it's like, yes, it's fun and it's awesome, and I do have like chemicals that run through my body and I learn more. But if I really focus on my intention of what am I being invited to next? And the thing with the retreat was, I had to be willing to be brave enough and get out of my own way and do it through service to invite people to connect with themselves in ways that was going to feel uncomfortable. I didn't want to just offer them, you know, the thing that they had been doing at their house, the thing that they can get in their hometown, get on YouTube, get anywhere. I had to be willing enough, and I have to do this on my client calls too, to like feel a little uncomfortable in my experience and ground myself to know like, oh, this might be new to them. They're going to experience resistance. And like, to not take it personally, but that's what they came for. They came for something new. They came for a different experience. What I know is that if you're here listening, you are ready for more meaning and connection in your life. And it's your job to say yes, to go out and seek it. And that can be a really small thing. Something I've been doing since Matthew's been gone for these couple of weeks is, I usually kind of have some resistance of like, oh, I don't get to go to my yoga schedule or my workout routine, my morning rituals, like thrown off, you know, because I gotta like make breakfast and do the morning thing, right? Well, I've created space in my schedule where I walk him to school, and the second I walk him to school, I go for this for a walk, and it's really important for me to get a walk in every single day, and it's been so perfect. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, why wasn't I doing this schedule before? Because it's so awesome. And I found like there's this little trail that goes through this beautiful part of this creek connecting in with the river, and it's just been so lovely. And so that's, you know, another way of like asking myself, how sober am I willing to get? How much am I willing to get out of my way so I can drop the resistance of the way sometimes it is, which is going to yoga or doing my strength training or meditating in the morning, and do something different. Like, so it can show up in so many ways. I want you to ask yourself that question, and I want you to write it down. How sober are you willing to get? And what scares you about that? What's in the way of that? What are you willing to do that you maybe just feel like I haven't had access to, or I just don't know where to find it? You have these questions, right? And again, when I ask that, it's like, it's more about how alive are you willing to feel? My dad sent me a card for my birthday. It's so cute. He had asked me if he sent it to me before. And I'm like, you may have sent it to one of us, but it's a dog, this cute little dog, just like jumping and skipping in the air across the lawn. And it says, live life like someone left the gate open. So that is really what this is about. My dad has always told me my zest for life is infectious. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a new thing for me, but my bravery, right? Because when I was doing this, when I was going out as a seeker and a seer before sobriety, I was a wanderlust. I was looking for everything outside of myself. Now I'm looking at these opportunities of noticing how I'm growing, how I'm shifting on the inside. I didn't know what I was looking for. I was looking for the external to be the change versus the external being a catalyst for me to change, right? And I know that the happiness is like all of the things, the satisfaction is all the things I get to do with it, how I get to interpret it, how the integration piece, how I offer it. And so the willingness to show up to live life more fully is like not the eat, drink, and be merry. It's what are the sensations happening in my body and how am I interpreting them and what am I going to do with them? So there's so much here to take away. I would absolutely love to know what you're taking away from this episode today. Next week, I am going to be talking about the infamous party of one and how you can stay in that party of one. You can have that party of one that alcohol provides you for the rest of your life, but you can change the soundtrack. It is going to be a really powerful episode. So please, if you took something away from today's episode, someone else will too. Share it on your socials and don't forget to go and leave a review. This is the reciprocity of us keeping paying it forward, moving this energy forward, creating and awakening a new world. Until we connect again next week, have an amazing day.
You know how you keep trying the same thing with alcohol to try to moderate, to make excuses, to make rules, and it's still not sticking? And really, every time you try to quit drinking, it almost seems to make things worse. That is because you are looking through a black and white lens, either on or off. And what my method, the five shifts process, does is it helps you take a step back and to open your perspective where you start to really look at the relationship you have with yourself and learn how to do all the things that you think alcohol is doing for you on your own. All of this information is available to you right now in a really short and concise free training on my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. So get on over there, sign up. It'll take you about 10 seconds, and I will see you on the inside. It's going to change your life forever.